This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
In season or off season, you and your car make a great team. Take care of it with Chevron with Techron for unbeatable cleaning and mileage. It's a winning play. Chevron, together ahead. 56 days. We're going to do it again for the first time in that number of days. Game Ball's coming up.
We don't break. All right, that was a great job. We got it from everybody. Offense, big drive, defense, making a stop at the end. We're going to make these corrections. We're going to get better. We're going to stay with our process, though. We're going to stay with our process. All right, let's get ready to go. Call it up, though. Call it up.
Let's go. Fins on three. One, two, three.
It's time to present today's Game Balls with Travis, Seth, and OJ on the Fish Tank.
Been waiting for that one on the Fish Tank.
Buddy.
I was loving that until the very end there. You guys got your promo.
Travis stopped dancing quick, didn't he, Seth? He stopped dancing. He was kicking it.
He was feeling it, and then it was like someone pulled the chair out from under.
Red light, green light right there.
Oh, I love it. I love it. 56 days, Travis. 56 waiting for
days.
That moment.
56 days for the Fish Tank reminder. Juice. Game Ball. Let's go, baby.
Well, let's go. Starting from the beginning of the game, man, getting my man involved. Finally, Jay Waddle, man. Usually we get involved early, forget about him. We kept him involved the whole time. But Jalen Waddle out there with 8 grabs for 83 yards, 10 targets, along with 17. But what I liked even more is I saw, you know, not just the 3- and 4-yard routes. I saw the 10-yard out. I saw more of a dig routes in there. We're starting to progress his distance on his routes, and I love that. I was looking for a double move at some point.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
It's coming.
Now it's coming.
It is coming. I don't know how much time there was for the double move.
Baltimore is not coming.
Yeah.
There's no double move coming, Baltimore. It's not for until after we play you guys, man.
Get your hands out of my playbook.
But it's got to happen, man. Even if we get, you know, Jacoby or Tua on Thursday out on the edge, double move has got to be coming soon, man. But the fact that we're getting him involved down the field a little bit more, I'm excited for it because we know what this guy can do with the ball in his hands. Let's get the ball in his hands down the field so we can start running away from people, Big Seth.
Juice, real quick. You mentioned getting some deeper pass targets. I thought he played a little more inside and outside in this game today. What does that do for a receiver to kind of open up their game?
Well, you know, it tells me he's got a bigger grasp of what's going on with the offense because they're able to move him around different locations on the football field is key.
Well, you got on him pretty good last week.
I did. I hope he heard.
It looked like he did, Juice. He responded and got a game ball.
He lined up correctly every time. You know, Gesicki wasn't motioning him over, man. And, you take pride in it. Don't think that he didn't hear it. He obviously didn't hear it from me.
I don't think
he did not hear it on film. You know what I mean? I'm sure the whole team heard it on film about different things they weren't doing correctly. That's one thing that should have been corrected, and it got corrected today.
Waddle ends the game 8 for 83 on 10 targets. So when you threw the football to Waddle, you get 8.3 yards on average. Seth, what do you got? Who's your game ball?
You know, I struggled with this one because it's kind of hard to ignore what happened on the defensive side of the ball. And Emmanuel Ogba was, I mean, certainly worthy of one. But I'm going to go with a guy who doesn't jump off the page if you look at the stats. 4 catches for 54 yards, Mike Gesicki. But, man, oh, man, every play he makes seems to just be spectacular. One hand, right? One-handed catch here. Almost had another one-handed grab. You know, the play that he makes on right after the two-minute warning hits at the end of the first half there, second and 22, he catches that 18-yarder, sets you up for a field goal. You get points. Travis is always talking about getting points on that final drive before the end of the half. And Mike Gesicki makes that happen, has another big third down grab later, gets low, big guy like that. It's hard for him to get all the way down on the ground, and he grabs it in there. I just think that Mike brings so much to this franchise. He seems to be a great guy in the locker room. Talked about the way Tua cheers everybody on. Who's the first guy to run down the field and cheer, celebrate somebody else's success? Mike Gesicki gets a game ball from me today.
That was the second catch he had that looked exactly like the Aronde Gadsden catch from back in 02. And it was right about where that cutout of the grass was at the old pro player when they had the baseball stadium. And Edgar Renteria would play shortstop right there. He's making that catch right in that area. Juice, you got to be so jealous of the gloves they have these days, because this happens all the time.
Yeah, you know, but see, and conversely, though, you see some of the drops sometimes with these gloves. Our gloves are great, though. You know, I started off with some Newmans, you know what I mean? Then I had the Tactifies. We had the Tactify where you pulled actually plastic off of them, and you could catch – I mean, you couldn't even – You couldn't even get the ball off your hands at times. But then when you fall on that grass one time, you can't get the grass off of them either. You know what I mean? So, yeah, you're right.
I got to break format here. Sean Wooden is blowing me up. He says that there's offensive bias right now. I know Travis is going to correct it. But Ogbah, you know what? Let's give him a – I really am not in a position to give out two game balls. But I'm going to do it until somebody tells me I can't. So Ogbah deserves a game ball as well, okay? Just for Sean Wooden. Just for Sean Wooden. If nothing else, because he's listening to the show, I'm giving him a game ball as well.
I know we're in game ball. Woody needs to be quiet about that right now, because I was sitting beside Woody today watching the game, and he was blasting receivers that weren't catching some passes, but wouldn't give any heat to any DB to drop one, man. Mm. So typical bias coming from Sean Wooden. Mm. So I don't want to hear this defense offensive stuff from Sean Wooden.
All right.
We might have spoiled the segment earlier by
four
talking
catches
about
and
Phillips,
a game ball. There you go.
Phillips and Ogbah, because we were going to come back and do it again, so we kind of talked about them earlier. So they kind of, in a way, we're in the game balls portion. For me, I am going to the defense. I talked about them earlier, too, but I don't give a damn. There's that word. I'm going to do it again. Javon Holland and Brandon Jones. The interception, I explained this in the earlier part of the podcast, of the show, that Jones makes the hit on Tyrod Taylor and Holland gets the pick. And they came into this game. I talked about it on Drive Time, and I'm really glad that they made me look really smart in this instance, because Brandon Jones had the most QB pressures of all safeties in the NFL coming into this game per Pro Football Focus. And Javon Holland led all rookie safeties in pass breakups. And on that play, you get a quarterback hit from Brandon Jones. You get an interception, the first in the career of Javon Holland. You saw it there. They finished Jones, five tackles and a pass breakup. Holland gets a tackle, a pick, and another pass breakup also on third down, which also, Juice, came on a play where they both blitzed the edge. These safeties were everywhere in this game today.
It's critical. It's critical to our success. I think, and now the fact that they're interchangeable for the most part, you don't know which one's coming, which one's dropped back in coverage, and they're both able to play center field when we need them to, and they both tackle well. They both tackle really well. I mean, that's a great situation back there in the secondary. When you got 24, I thought they picked on Byron a little bit, though. Byron Jones got picked on a little bit today on some of the short routes, but at the same time, though, man, they were able to keep everybody in front, and our safeties had their backs.
He bounced back in that second half, Byron Jones.
He sure did, and Brandon Jones, didn't he also recover the fumble there at the end of the fourth quarter, really, too? Kind of
that's the point. That's the point Sean Wood and I were talking about, where it could have been like, if it wasn't a fumble, it should have been an interception right there. So we're talking about hands, like DBs with hands, wideouts. He really went back to the one that Mac Hollins could maybe had back in the end zone. Mm. You know, we're talking, you know, but
or Shaheen.
Shaheen should have had the back. Yeah, he did. Shaheen should have had the back of the end zone. But Woody's talking about, yeah, that was an easier catch for Brandon that he probably could have had, just in case it wasn't a fumble. Thank goodness it was a fumble, though, and he's still got the recovery.
He did. I forgot the fumble recovery, Seth. Where are you at? You're my stat guy.
I just gave him the fumble recovery. Wait a second. What are you talking about? I just gave him the fumble recovery.
Just trying to pass the blame.
You know where I was at? I was in the lobby, because the TV's not a TV anymore in here. It's a whole other situation.
So those are our game balls. Jalen Waddle. No.
Jalen Waddle, Mike Gesicki, and Ogbah. Since you gave out two, well, figure
and
know,
Javon Holland and Brandon Jones. You saw, you heard them.
I cowered to the pressure of Sean Wooden.
You cowered to the pressure of Sean Wooden, but we got to get them in, because we got a big victory here. It's been 56 days since we've given out game balls too. And also a little note to Javon Holland on the punt returns. I know he had the fumble, which you can't have, but
can't ignore the fumble.
He showed some shake and some wiggle on those punt returns as well. I thought he was very dynamic back there. Again, these rookies, these young kids, Jalen Waddle taking off kickoff returns and Javon Holland taking the punt returns. He winds up in this game with three returns for 10.3 yards average, so 31 total yards on three returns.
You know, and it's so funny. I mean, it's not funny, but I was watching that return, should have been a fair catch situation. That's one thing. You know, I know guys are always trying to make plays, especially young guys. But the most important thing when you get a punt return opportunity is protecting the rock, making the right decision. You know, one thing that will give Jimmy Johnson credit for, and I don't give him credit for much, is that, you know, he said
he's in
always,
the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, for somebody else, not for me. Not for me. It's making the right decision down there.
Yeah.
You got, if you're uncomfortable, just get the hell out of the way. You know, and right there, I thought it should have been a fair catch situation. Even though he had a nice return on it, at some point you got to protect the rock. You don't ever want to give it back, especially down there.
How often do we see that happen where you think a guy should have made the fair catch, he goes ahead and makes a gutsy play, and next thing you know, he's turning it over?
Yeah, yeah. You know, you're like, oh, don't – fair catch. Oh, good run. Oh, you found me. You should have fair caught it. That's
right,
how it all
right. That's exactly what that felt like.
Yeah, that's exactly what that felt like.
Just to kind of finish the point, we got a couple minutes here left from this segment. To kind of finish off the defensive point, I thought it was great to see Eric Rowe get that fumble at the end of the game there. And just this Dolphins to force a fumble that Brandon Jones recovered. But just to see the Dolphins defense kind of get back to that pressure and just overloading the quarterback and offensive line and overwhelming them with just unrelenting pressures and blitzes. We saw it all game long, Juice. I thought they did a good job of using Jones and Holland in the blitz, and Jerome Baker got involved. And let's give Baker some flowers as well for that pick. That was a hell of a play because his foot's on the sideline. He
brings
has the wherewithal to bring it back in, and we're kind of confused. I thought you couldn't be the first one to touch it. We didn't know the rules.
Talk to me. Yeah, I don't know that. I was thinking the same thing. I thought we might have got an illegal touch right there. But I
think defense, you can do that. You can reestablish and catch the football.
It wouldn't be an illegal touch, right? It would just would have been
incomplete.
First one
to touch it. Well, yeah, possibly.
It's not a punt.
Right.
So there's nothing illegal
but
about
it. But offensively, you go out, right, Juice, you're done. Like, you can't be the first one to touch if you
Correct.
Go out at all.
Correct.
Unless they force you out.
I don't think – force out doesn't matter, I think. I think they can force you and you're done in this league, right?
And it just erases your target.
Man, we'll
target
get the rules
book.
That's not what we're doing. We don't get paid to do the rules, Travis. We don't get paid to interpret them.
I'm putting that on Seth's plate. That's
you want to put on button? Well, here, I'm gonna make the call for you right now. They ruled it an interception,
right.
So it's an interception. That's it. For the rest of time, that plays an interception.
That's why you're the stats and rules guy right
That's exactly right.
1,000%.
Get your new Kia with Gunther Plus at Gunther Kia or online at GuntherKia.com for car buying done your way. You got to get to Gunther. Again, the final score here from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 17, Texans 9. Feels good to say that. You're listening to the fifth quarter postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches. Get your new Kia with Gunther Plus at Gunther Kia or online at GuntherKia.com. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther. Also, give your game day menu the perfect kick of spice with Old El Paso. Try recipes the whole team will love, like slow cooker cheesy chicken, enchilada bean dip, air fryer beef taquitos, or carnitas mini taco bowls.
Man.
Visit OldElPaso.com
for
these recipes and more game day favorites. Old El Paso Taco. Together, guys, we have Jacoby Brissett coming up here for you guys at the post game press conference. Let's go ahead and throw it to quarterback.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, we definitely needed one. You know, I think we did a good job in all three phases of the game. Came out and played well in certain spots of the game, and you know, hats off to us. And you know, they came out and played well too. You know, and really made it a 60-minute game like we knew it would be. And you know, we just made a couple more plays than they did. I mean, no, we knew going into Wednesday, you know, that it was a possibility that I might play. And, you know, just preparing, obviously, like I'm the starter no matter what. And then, you know, got the call. Or caller, he just told me he ain't called me.
When you're the players for Mike Gesicki, when you're throwing it, he holds it at one end of the catch. He's a confidence there. He's going to sky like that.
For sure. I mean, you know, me coming here knew that we had a tight end that could make plays like that. And it's no surprise because when you watch him practicing, you watch him on the side every time, you know, when the defense is going, he's practicing those catches and he's making those plays. So, you know, it's no surprise. I mean, obviously it's crazy when he does it in the game. But, you know, not to say that we expect those plays from Mike, but it's a reason why his hard work is paying off in those times.
So the confidence is there when you're throwing it like that?
Yes.
More likely he's going to haul.
Yeah, for sure.
Jacoby, when you do get that, not call, but when you do get that confirmation from coach that you're starting, what are the immediate thoughts that go through your head?
This is what I worked for. Pretty much that's it. And then just go do what I do.
Jacoby, is there sort of a feeling, as much as you want to celebrate this, you know, with the game coming up in just 4 days, is there a bit of a feeling of, hey, we can't do this turnover thing against Baltimore?
Oh, no, hell no. I mean, for sure. No, not even that. You could answer that question. You know, obviously, but it's still a win in the NFL, which is hard to do. So, you know, we should be happy about that. Obviously, it's a short week, and then, you know, we just got to find a way to bounce back tomorrow. You know, watch the film and get better from there.
You expect him to start Thursday?
I'll three-way you in if I get the call.
What did Brian tell you guys after the win?
Who is Brian? All right. You know how many Bryants we got in there? Yeah. Coach Flo. You know, I mean, he said good job on the win. Short week. Get ready to turn the page tomorrow.
What was it like to watch the defense step up?
It was awesome. I mean, and the thing is, they've been doing it a lot this year. You know, it was good that we were able to make another play to help. You know, reward those guys. You know, I thought they did a great job getting us the ball with short fields. I mean, the end of the second quarter was big. You know, I mean, that was pretty much, not saying it's the game, but it was the swing in the game to, you know, to springboard us into, you know, being comfortable, not comfortable, but being able to, you know, play football in the second half.
What have you learned about this team personally that helped you get the win today and that's going to help you on Thursday?
You know, that we're together, you know, and there's no quitting this team no matter what. You know, we got a bunch of guys that, you know, want to go out there and win, want to play their best. And, you know, I mean, hard as it is to say, I mean, obviously turning the ball over and some of the other mistakes, but, you know, guys are straining to do the right thing and make those plays. And at some point they're going to start to flow, which they did today. Obviously we got to win, so they flowed enough over the cup for us to win. You know, we're going to start to clean up a lot of those errors and mistakes, and then those more plays will be made.
So, Seth, my press conference consigliere here, man, played well in all three phases, talked about getting the call on Wednesday that he might play and wound up getting the call that he was going to start the game, talked a bit about Mike Gesicki there. What did you think from Jacoby Brissett after the game?
I mean, the thing that stood out to me the most is what he said at the end. Is what does this tell you? He said that we're together.
Yeah.
And that is, more than anything, the biggest concern when a team is struggling. And when you lose seven in a row, and not just seven in a row, Juice, but with all of the noise that has been circling around this team, trades, not trades, picks that worked out, didn't work out, obviously the losses, people who aren't performing, you've got a polarizing quarterback. The fact that the person who led this team today on the field as the quarterback says we're together,
yeah,
that makes me feel a little bit better.
Yeah, and I that's what I was feeling earlier. I was thinking that, you know, the outside noise hasn't affected this team. They're still going out there and they're trying to play together and trying to find a way to win football games, man. And that's all you can do. There's nothing else you can do, man. What else are you going to do? You're going to you know, fold up tent?
Well, sometimes that happens, though. You've seen that happen in other places, Juice.
Yeah. You know that with our leader, with Brian, you know,
which Brian are you talking
it's
about?
Not gonna happen.
A lot of damn Brian's in here.
Good Flores.
Okay.
You know, it's not gonna happen with this team. You know, and and that happens when you have a hell of a leader at the top, man, and that's what we have. And the rest of the guys, you know, continue to be leaders on this team, and that trickles down from room to room, coaching staff to coaching staff, and it really starts with up at the top. Now if you can continue to have these leaders in every single individual meeting room, you know, they'll bond together. They'll band together, and they'll go out there and play hard for each other. This team – now, one thing I will dispute with Jacoby is that offense, they really – they played okay early, but then at the end they really didn't play well. I'll give special teams and defense 5-12 game balls. But at the same time, though, man, they still found a way
to win. We gave offense two game balls in here, though.
Well, individually. Individually.
Okay.
Individuals.
So, I mean, they turned the ball over four times. I mean, we can't ignore
it. Five times.
Well, I'm saying special teams turned it over once, but the offense turned it over four times.
Got you.
So that can't be ignored.
Got
and there were some issues with the offense.
And we got shut out in the second half.
Yeah.
You got shut out in the second half. You know what I mean? So that's never a good thing either. But at the same time, though, it doesn't matter, like we talked about. He's a winning quarterback. What's his stat line going to say as a quarterback? You know,
dub.
He got a dub, you know. He's got a dub as a starting quarterback. And I just love the fact that we get a guy on, you know, that's our starting quarterback this week. And, you know, he's able to be up there and have some fun with it. How many times, Seth, have we seen, we listen to these pressers, and it's like, man, I just want to go out and maybe I don't kick my dog because my dog will kick my butt, you know. But just like it seems like it's so dreary,
yep.
You know. There's a little upbeat today, man, and they have a right to be upbeat. You get a
win
in the NFL, you have a right to be upbeat.
I was going
to
say, I've never really seen Jacoby's press with Indy or New England, but he does seem pretty happy to be back in South Florida. He's always pretty jovial at those press conferences.
Sure.
You mentioned his stats. He finishes the day 26 for 43. That's 60.5%, 244 yards, a touchdown, two picks, but four sacks and a fumble lost, 64.5 passer rating in this one. And you talked about the guys being together, just kind of finished that point there. I thought we saw that at the very end of the game when they got that fumble recovery. All the guys kind of came together and were dancing together and celebrating and jumping on each other. That was fun to see. Of course, Christian Wilkins leading that charge.
Of course.
And good
course.
To see him back. He got nicked up a little bit in the fourth quarter, and I was kind of worried about him, but he came right back in.
Yeah.
He's never missed a game in his career. Christian Wilkins is the best. Love that dude. Love his production. Love everything about him. So we'll talk more about Juice mentioned the offensive line there. Maybe it was Seth. I forget. Someone talked about
it. Was me.
We'll talk about the offensive line. Some scores around the league in a crazy week in the National Football League. I always make this joke that the NFL writers, like it's an actual show, are on one this year, and they're definitely on one this year. It's been a crazy season. We'll talk about all that and more. But for now, get your new Kia with Gunther Plus at Gunther Kia or online at GuntherKia.com. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther. Again, the final score from Miami, 17-9. The Dolphins take this one. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Postgame Show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches. Check out South Florida's ultimate entertainment destination with world-class shows at Hard Rock Live, award-winning dining at Sopresso and Council Oak, and much, much more only at Seminole Hard Rock Hollywood. I had some friends in town this weekend, and they drove by that thing, and they were blown away by the Hard Rock Hotel down there right outside of Hollywood, so good stuff there. Let's go ahead and get to the Around the NFL scores for week number 9 already. Dang, it's going by quick. Give me the music. Let's go ahead and hit these scores. You heard the Dolphins won this one 17-9 already here at Hard Rock Stadium. Earlier games today, the Colts kicked off the week beating the Jets 45-30 on Thursday Night Football. The Browns took down the Bengals in the Battle for Ohio big time 41-16. The Broncos surprised the Cowboys 30-16 and Dak Prescott's return to the lineup. The Falcons went on a walk-off safety, I think it was, 27-25. I could be wrong on that, but I think it was tied late in that game. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. The Giants win 23-16 over the Raiders. The Patriots continue to show Sam Darnold ghost in a new city 24-6 as they take down the Panthers. The Jaguars 9-6 over the Buffalo Bills in a baseball game. The Ravens 31 in overtime over the Minnesota Vikings. Currently the Chargers and Eagles tied up at 10 in the third quarter. The Chiefs are up 10-0 on the Aaron Rodgers list. Green Bay Packers. And, guys, we talked a lot of positives today.
Real quick, Travis, it was a field goal. It was okay. It was a field goal. There wasn't a safety. But, damn, I look at this. New Orleans put up 22 points in the fourth quarter in that game to make it even competitive. So, no safety there, but it's all good, bro.
I'm glad you saved me because I was looking at that. I started to say it. I thought, nah, that doesn't sound right. I thought it went to OT. I saw they won by two, but they didn't. We're watching the Dolphins game. We don't care about anything
That's
else.
That's right.
I literally go off my phone and read those for the first time to you guys, so give me a break.
That's
so
right. That's
I'm
right.
just messing around. We were very positive on this show, and we tend to be that way, but we also like to point out things that didn't go well.
Correct.
And we're going to do that on this. I thought on several occasions plays were just not quite there because of some offensive line breakdowns, Juice.
Yeah, there are a lot. It's sad at times. But, you know, I think our game plan at the beginning was really rough. And I was going around the stadium all day today doing some different visits and stuff. So I didn't see as much of it as I wanted to, but I did read a lot of stats. We tried the middle of the field running the ball a lot today. We tried to pound the middle from the beginning
Average
of the game.
Less than 2 yards.
Dude, it was not good, man. And I don't know if that could be that's not our strength.
No.
It's not our strength, man. For one,
but it was their weakness, Juice. And I think that maybe, you know, has to be part of the reason why they tried
to do
that.
You have to try it. But damn,
you gotta adjust.
Do you continue trying it? Yeah, I mean, what's going on with our – we got little scat backs. We got scat backs. Do you run scat backs between the tackles? I wouldn't run my scat backs between the tackles. And then it kind of hurt us. You know, we saw Miles with a fumble, with a rare fumble, putting it on the ground, you know. But I think that's some of the things that we have to address. I also saw some immediate pressure of Jacoby. Jacoby, you know, couldn't even get going at times with the offensive line, you know, some of the same things we've talked about before. So we've got to address all those things, of course, because we always get accused of being all positive when there's negatives in the game. That's definitely a negative that we had to deal with today in terms of pressure. The turnovers, you said four offensive turnovers, one on special teams. That's another negative. But when you talk about a lot of those turnovers, some of it's pressure-related, decision-making related, you know, for Jacoby. So there's some things that really, really need to be addressed. We should have blown this team out, but then again, they could have blown us out too if our defense didn't step up with those turnovers that our offense created. You talked about it earlier, Travis, given the Texans short fields, you know, twice.
Yep.
and the defense held up and held them to field goals. Those are huge deals right there. But the offense cannot put the defense in those situations. The special teams cannot put the defense in those situations. Defense. Honestly, we should revisit the game balls and the whole defense should get one instead of.
Did Woody text you too?
Well, Woody, man. I got more to talk about Woody, but I won't say it on air.
Hey, the next game ball goes to Matt Wilson back in the studio. We already promised him that. So if we get one more game ball, it goes to Matt Wilson producing the show. Seth, before you jump in here, I want to go back to a couple points that you made. You mentioned the stats. Like, that's definitely indicative of how poor the rushing performance was in this game. But I thought at the end of the game, we talk about this, and you've mentioned this several times, how the game just it gets away from the Dolphins at the end of a few of these instances, the Jacksonville game, the Raider game, the Colts game. And part of that is because they haven't been able to close the games out. And I thought today was another example. They get the ball back twice, and it's Miles Gaskin for no gain. And then they pick up a first down, then they go Miles for four, Miles for three, incomplete pass. They get the ball back again, Miles for no gain, Miles for a one-yard loss, and then Miles for a two-yard gain. You're not going to close out games when you can only rush the ball one or two times. Go back to the Falcons game here a few weeks ago. We had to get a stop, and we knew they were going to run the ball three times in a row. They got 10 yards and a first down, which moved the chains, and that put the game away.
I was actually going to ask you about that. So we were running over here to get from the press box to the studio, all right, to the studio here, the Larry Zonka studio.
The Travis air quotes.
At the state. That's right. He did use the Travis Wingfield air quotes. And so, Juice, I want to ask you about this play because I think you were still out there watching it, and Travis and I were listening to it, and then we tried to go look at the television. The Texans are out of timeouts. I thought, and this is where Travis and I sometimes disagree, he's very aggressive with his play calling. He wants the offense to win the game, and I totally understand that. But to me, I would have tried to run it one more time to Gaskin. I know we weren't having success there, but they can't stop the clock. You run another 30 seconds off there. If you convert, great. Then you just you go into victory formation from that point once you get to the two-minute warning. But they don't convert. They throw the deep ball, not a high percentage pass to Matt Collins. And I don't know. What did you think about that call?
Yeah, that's a tough call to even to talk about. I think at that point our defense was playing really well too. It's time and place for everything, correct?
Yeah.
So timing in that game right there, if our defense wasn't playing well, you might try to go for the jugular right there. But since they are, punt it down. Put our defense on the field and try to make a play. But this is one that
they punted, but I just wanted to run more time off.
No. I know what you're talking about. I'm talking about run it and then punt it away.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to get at.
Game balls to go.
But, yeah, I'm with you on that. I think game management is a huge deal when it comes to, you know, games like that. Let's go back to week one against New England when we put that four-minute drive together to put it away. If we convert that, then what would you be saying? What would we say then if we convert that
can play the result.
Let's talk about on a run play or whatever it is, and it's always good. We always – I mean, that's what everybody – everything about this
– sure.
Post game is always hindsight.
For sure, for sure. I'm just saying, if you don't convert it, the clock can't stop because they're out of timeouts.
Correct.
And so we gave them a timeout.
But you won't. You will not get to. I mean, it'd be close to 2 minutes. But you're right. With no timeouts left, that
you get to at least run 30 seconds off the clock.
There's 3:12 left in the game, so they'll get the ball before the 2 minute break, and then we'll go from there, right? But anyhow, back to your point. Run it, even though running wasn't working very well for us. I mean, the numbers show that it wasn't working very
well.
The numbers all year have shown it's not working very well for us.
We had a couple games where you get 100, 150 yards rushing, but, I mean, the Texans come in as the second worst
close to it, almost 150 giving up.
I mean, golly.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah, so you got to try it.
That's a little disappointing.
But why are we still trying it with our smaller backs between the tackles?
Well, who else are you going to try it with?
Try it outside a little bit with our smaller
backs. Oh, I see what you're saying. So it's not the smaller backs you're questioning. It's
correct.
Where they're running.
Well, Jared Dokes is drafted in the seventh round this year. He's in the practice squad.
Yeah.
Might be an option there.
Yeah, well, we had a lot of options. We thought we were going to be our big guys.
And Malcolm Brown's on the IR right now, and Jared Dokes in the practice squad. So it is Patrick Laird, Savon Ahmed, Miles Gaskin going
forward.
Give it
to Laird, right, man. Where's my man Laird going to get some opportunities?
Give it to White Lightning. The intern himself. We got to take a quick break. We'll come right back. Get your new Kia with Gunther Plus at Gunther Kia or online at GuntherKia.com. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther. Again, the final score, 17-9 from Hard Rock Stadium. You're listening to the fifth quarter postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches. Miami Dolphins are coming to a Publix near you with giveaway items, cheerleaders, alumni, and more for the first ever Miami Dolphins tailgate tour. The next stop is this Wednesday, November 10th from 4 to 6 p.m. at Publix at Plaza del Paraiso, located in 15,000 Miami Lakes Drive East in Miami Lakes. Be sure to check that out. Did I pronounce that right, Seth? You good on that
Publix
one?
You did, yeah. For sure.
Not the
You did better than Joe Rose. I don't know if anybody heard Joe during the game. He was struggling with that, man. Jimmy was getting on him. He had a rough one. And Joe was normally the master at those reads.
I just want you to know I learned Doral. I'm on top of that one now. So never again. It's time for the Lexus Drive of the Game. Is brought to you by your South Florida Lexus dealers, who encourage you to experience amazing. A 12-play drive for 80 yards, 5 minutes and 59 seconds off the clock. And it got started with a reception from tight end Mike Gesicki.
Play action fake back to throw. Gets it over the Gesicki, what a catch. Another one-handed grab that's just a highlight reel.
Well, I tell you what, they might put Mike Gesicki on ESPN all night tonight. Some of these catches he's making. Tight coverage, too.
A gain of 18 yards, and it's just great reception.
I don't know what else is going on around the league right now, but for the top 10, tomorrow morning on SportsCenter, Joe, one of those two catches by Gesicki has to be on.
So there you have it. Mike Gesicki was making one-handed snags all day long. First quarter of the drive of the game, whenever the heck else it was. Easy for me to say.
They had about three of them
there. Goodness gracious. But, yeah, this was a drive that the Dolphins kind of got things going, and we saw it. It's been the case all year. They score early. They kind of start to find their footing in the fourth quarter as well, and that was the case again today. So the Dolphins get that early touchdown drive to put themselves up 7-0 and take a lead they would never relinquish. And, Juice, to kind of go back to this point here, this was a good mix of run and pass and kind of spreading the football around. And I told you off air a little bit that I was impressed with some of the action the Dolphins did. This drive ended with a Myles Gaskin touchdown plunge and a wildcat call. They had some Gaskin and Ahmed in the backfield at the same time types of formations. We talked about Waddle getting more usage and kind of hitting those out routes. I think the next move is that stutter and go or that out and up or the wheel route, whatever it might be. But in this game, I thought Miami mixed it up pretty well offensively, and it began on this touchdown drive.
Yeah, bro, I was a little worried about that first series. That first series was a little rough, man. I'm like, oh, my God, here we go again against a team that I thought we were definitely going to try to establish a run, and we tried that, and we got stuffed and then, you know, incomplete pass or whatever it might be. With that next drive, was definitely special, and they did mix it up so many different ways, doing things that we haven't seen before. But maybe they had the wildcat plan. You know, if that drive, that first drive could have lasted a little bit longer, you know, down the road, get closer to the goal line, we'll go to wildcat. But they definitely put together in this drive right here, the drive of the game, that 12-play drive. And we always talk about when you go for 12-play drives, not necessarily going for 12-play drives, so many bad things can happen along the way, but they were able to capitalize on this one with Miles getting into the end zone, man. And when you chew up, 6 minutes on the clock, you know, you got a team, a defense has been on the field for a long time, talking about the Texans. It's still, even though it might have been a cool morning waking up, I was down that field in this damn alumni jacket. I was sweating so bad.
You look good in it, Juice. I think you need to wear it to every game.
I might wear it with shorts and some flip-flops next time, but at least the jacket's the reason we're getting some wins. You know what I mean? But I love the way they put that drive together, especially after the first one, and putting it in the end zone. You know, that's key, man. So what a great drive. 12 plays, that'll eat a team up. It'll eat some clock up, and it's great confidence builder for your offense.
And rewarding your defense who comes up with the big interception, right? So that's how you get the ball back. There's nothing that I love better than you turn turnovers into points.
Right.
And thankfully, Houston couldn't get that done today because there were plenty of opportunities. They only came away with 6 points off of 5 turnovers. But, you know, when that play happens, when you're two guys today, you're two game balls today, right? You get Jones, Holland, get the interception, and they do it. 12 plays, march down the field. And, you know, who in Miami doesn't like to see a little wildcat action?
That's where it began, right? And as far as the NFL goes, here in Miami back in 2008 against the New England Patriots, a good time that was, a good season that was.
I can't remember the years, man. I can't remember. Every year
that's why I'm here,
a blur,
Juice.
Bro.
That's why I'm here, brother.
He didn't get hit over the middle quite as many times as you did.
You see how big I am? My football career ended at a very young age, Juice, as you can tell.
But don't ask him about his baseball career now.
that lasts a lot longer.
Taking myself out of games as a youth. In the baseball field. Juice, your game ball, Jalen Waddle on that drive, 8-yard reception, a 17-yard reception, a 12-yard reception. He really got going. I want to come back and talk about him more in just 1 second. But first, we got to go ahead and let our station identify themselves. You're listening to the Dolphins' fifth quarter postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
WQAM Miami, WPOW HD2 Miami, WKIS, WKIS HD1, and WKIS HD2 Boca Raton. Home of the Miami Dolphins. Powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys.
So doing some more math here, 8, 17, and 12, that's 37 yards on three receptions for Waddle on that drive. But, Juice, I wanted to come back to this with you real quick here because I thought that there was a play in this game that, you know, and it kind of brings back the entire previous segment, too, about the offensive line and protection and the inability to get vertical on this offense, because there was a play where the Texans were in a too-high look, and Waddle split them. And you could see the speed difference with him and those safeties when he just ran right past them, and Jacoby was looking that way. And I think that maybe off the top of the drop, if he lets that thing fly, he might have a chance to get it out there, but the pressure just didn't quite allow it. And so Waddle has to break off the route. Looks like he's open. Jacoby tries it again, but now the defender has time to recover, and it's picked off. But, man, I thought that play was just indicative of where they struggled to get deep because they can't quite protect for long enough for a guy like Waddle to get that 4-2 speed and stretch it out.
Yeah, if you're going to go deep, you got to make that decision and make it happen. You can't do it late. You can't be rolling out trying to make it happen. And I think bottom line is, man, I don't see us with the philosophy that I grew up with. If somebody's even, they're leaving. A guy like Waddle, if he's even, he's leaving. So if you got safety, they're still in their back pedal, and Waddle's going full speed straight ahead, let one rip one time, man. We don't take those type of shots. And I don't know if that's, you know, per game plan, per practice, per what the coach are telling our guys. We are very, very, as you all know, and maybe you don't know this, a very conservative team on offense. You know, newsflash. Yeah, we're very conservative on offense, but man, oh man,
you must be watching a different game than me.
We've got to take some of these chances, man. And it really starts off at the beginning. You know, me coaching high school football, that's one of the things I try to tell these kids right away. You got to start looking at it right away. Pre-snap read is huge, and I know Jacoby can do it. I know Tua can do it. But at the same time, you see these guys, and you see something develop that you want to see happen. You know, going to two high safeties, and you know you got a guy that's going to be splitting it. Let it rip one time, man. Not late in the game. Not late that play, but let it rip sometime. We're way too conservative, but who? These quarterbacks are being told.
And who knows what they're thinking when all of a sudden they got two guys that look like they're on a free release.
Oh, it does seem that way.
I mean, there was a lot of that today. It was, you know, and the play you're talking about, Travis, he came by and he said, man, Jacoby had him. That should have been a touchdown. And I said, he's got, you know, he can't throw that ball. And it's a shame. It's a shame because everything else was exactly what you wanted. And it's what you've been waiting for year. It's what Juice just called for. But, you know, when it falls apart, you still got to be patient, don't you? There's nothing more important out there than the football. Well, the game is called.
I'm sorry, Seth. And one thing I do love is about watching the game at home because we can see the whole field. You know, and you see it, the road games, you see it, you know, in your All-22, you're able to see the whole field. But when we're watching a road game, I always see the TV copy or hear what's on.
Zoom out, guys.
Yeah,
zoom out.
Exactly right. But when you can see it opening up, you're like, oh, throw it. And then it's dumped or, you know, they drop it off or, you know, check it down. It becomes frustrating when you see these shot plays that are out there and we don't take some of those shots.
But I think hopefully my hope here is that they're starting to build some opportunities to kind of lull the defense into a false sense of security when it comes to Waddle, because there were some opportunities there in this game where we talked about Juice. He moved around, and I thought one of the things they did that they haven't done much this year was play him to the boundary, the short side of the field, where typically your safety help doesn't typically go that way, right? They usually roll to the field, and that's been Devontae Parker's position when he's been healthy, is that ex-boundary receiver position. And he got over there, and he had some of those speed outs that are open. You turn that speed out into a wheel route, like you talk about, give him a chance. And, you know, Jacoby is more of a kind of get back there, see it, and then throw it. And Tua is more of a catch it, feel it, and kind of let that thing anticipate and get it out there early. So either way, you can build it into the offense and plan it that way. But I just think that if they're going to turn this thing around and string together a couple of victories here down the stretch, that they're going to have to find a way to get more explosive, because these methodical drives with the mistakes they make, we talk about every single week, you're never going to make a living that way.
Yeah, and I do like those opportunities. We talked about this. We talked about one of Mike Gesicki's one-hand catches, you know, on the sideline. But then they check. I saw Jacoby check to another fade route, and he missed it. I like taking those chances right there, taking those opportunities. Anytime Mike Gesicki gets a one-on-one with a corner out there,
yeah.
Or if it's a safety, man, give him a signal. Tell him we're running fade route.
Well, it looked
right
like
here.
They tried to do that, yeah. Right? And they missed the spot.
Exactly.
But they looked
right.
Like he tried to go right back to him early on.
He did, and he missed it. Threw it wide. Every single time they want to give you that coverage, go check to that fade route every single time until they put somebody or put two people out there, and then we can work on the other side. So taking shots is coming. I think it's coming. I think Mike, Mike had a a hell of a game. Over the middle, outside, big
game
catches.
Ball worthy.
Had
if you
everything.
Ask me.
You know, he but the finally
first 10 game ball.
And finally for them to actually, you know, target him, you know, more often than not. We say it all the time about how they lose Waddle and they lose Gesicki, you know, second and third quarter and late in the game. They catch them early in the game. I think today they were more consistent getting the ball to Mike Gesicki, which was a key. It was key for the offense having any type of success today.
I'd be curious to see the drop number for him this year because we talked about drops a lot. I don't recall him dropping a football this season. I mean, he's so sure-handed, whether it's going to the ground, whether it's jumping up in the air and going over someone or a contested catch. He's just so sure-handed you can trust on you can rely on him. He's trustworthy. As you said, and that's
well,
the most.
Know
why
we,
for
man, well, come on, you know why, Travis? You know, man, it's Happy Valley hands, man. You know what I mean? That's all we do. Is we catch the rock up in there, man. That's what we do. And he's one of those guys that hybrid, you know, wide receiver dude. All the wide receivers out of Penn State got great hands. Look at the ones in the league and the ones that are coming out. Jahan Dotson just broke one of my records again, man. I'm not happy about that, buddy.
Hey, Seth, you know who's playing for the share of the Pac-12 North title next weekend?
Oh, here we go.
I have absolutely no clue. Or interest.
The Washington State Cougars, baby. We're talking college ball.
Who can we get from that team to put on my Dolphins next year? That's my question. You got somebody for me?
No.
Guys, hold. Wait a second. What are we doing? This is our first win since week one, and we're over here talking about Pac-10. Like, what are we doing?
I tried to bring it back to, you know, draft.
Thank you.
The draft next year.
Man, can we bring it back to Thursday? You know, we have a game on Thursday.
Listen to this guy.
If it makes you feel any better, the quarterback for WSU went to the same high school as Tua Tagovailoa, so there's that for you.
There we go.
Okay.
The Lexus Drive of the Game is brought to you by your South Florida Lexus dealers who encourage you to see, hear, feel, and experience amazing. So get to Lexus. Also get your new Kia with Gunther Plus at Gunther Kia or online at GuntherKia.com. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 17, Texans 9. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Postgame Show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches. From the electricity in the stadium to the highlight reel plays, there's nothing quite like Dolphins football. And this season, you can be there live to cheer them on as the official marketplace of the NFL Ticketmaster has you covered with the largest selection. .com/Dolphins Juice. You talked about how cold it was today. That was a perk. I was told to wear shorts to bow campers last night, Seth, and I was freezing my butt off.
It was cold. My family was like, we're out of here. You can hang out and do this.
I had jeans on. Like, what are you doing? I'm like, just trust me. There's some wind off the water down there, but alas, I put the shorts on and froze my butt off. So there you go, Juice.
Yeah, man, I enjoyed the weather today. I still, man, still in the sun, though, man. You sit there in the sun. It's still a little rough down there. So at least they did. Texans felt a little bit of the heat, you know, even though the temperature itself wasn't bad. That sun still maintained its gazillion degrees on it, on their head. So it was, and I felt it too on my bald head.
Seth's luckily inside, protected from the elements.
I was going to say, it was about 73 and just perfect in the press box.
A little bit chilly. Sometimes it gets chilly up there. Throw the sweatshirt
so
on.
So now it should be nice again. Obviously, a night game coming up should be nice and chilly there too. Right?
Perfect segue for our next topic here. Dolphins get to 2-7, snap a 7-game winning streak, and they get just a little bit of time to enjoy it before the Baltimore Ravens come to town on Thursday night back here at Hard Rock Stadium. This is going to be my first home game, home primetime game I'm covering for the Dolphins here. So looking forward to that. Not looking forward to the start time. I mean, West Coast was much better for primetime games, 5:20 kickoff.
The start time's okay. It's the closing time. Yeah, that's when things get a little bit rough. Yeah.
So the Ravens come to town, and, you know, I don't like to try to predict things in this sense, but if you look at what the Ravens have to deal with this week, it's a difficult turnaround for them, and I want to talk to you guys about the quick turnaround here, but the Ravens, an overtime game today, so they played, you know, an extended football game, short week on the road next week on Thursday night coming down here to South Florida, got to get hydrated because even though it is a little bit chillier, still the humidity can mess with you, and you got to keep yourself ready for action. So in that sense, or that idea, Juice, playing on a short week, you played Thanksgiving Day game once upon a time?
Yes, a couple of them.
Okay, so you know what that's all about. How tough is it to get ready for a short week?
It is tough, and I think it gets tougher on the staff, coaching staff, because they really got to put two game plans together in 1 week, and then they got to try to draw from it, and then you kind of get confused with this Texans week or Ravens stuff. So you really have – and they might even throw a little – they might have thrown a little bit of Ravens stuff in last week just to get an idea of what they might want to do, because you really only have a few days to get going for that game. And so they already have an idea what they want to do against the Ravens. They'll look, obviously, at the game they played today. They beat the Vikings today 34-31, and they'll go back a couple other weeks. But they've been working on it already. they have to be working on already, because you don't have enough time after a game today and to get ready for a game on Thursday. But it goes both ways. The Ravens are doing the exact same thing. They're going to have a short week. You know, luckily they played at home today, right? And then they got I wish they had played on the road at Minnesota.
Yeah, back
had a
back
long flight home, and then, you know, then fly
the
out here.
The NFL tries
again.
To look out for you.
Yeah,
I see.
I wouldn't. That's not my team, you know. But it's going to be a short week for both. So getting ready, and you said it earlier, Travis, you know, we talked about Tyrod Taylor and what a nemesis he's been for us because of his ability to run the football. Now they got to get ready for Lamar Jackson. You know, it's another guy that runs the ball very well. He actually ended up with some nice numbers today, 266, but he also ran for 120.
That's what he does, man.
You know what I mean?
He's a freak.
So that's what we have to make sure.
And he's coming home.
He's going to have, you know, and Ravens fans travel well, but he's got a home crowd already that's going to be here too. So it's going to be a tough week. But you know what? You can build from what we did from what we did today, and get ready for a game like that. Are we as worried about, you know, there's no Brandon Cooks going to be out there this week. Are we worried about the receivers? Yeah, they got some nice receivers out there as well that go out there and play between Brown and Bateman, and those guys are going to be tough. But I'm confident right now that our 24 and 25 and 8 and 29, our secondary, can go out there and make some plays. So that's what's going to have to happen. But we got to tackle.
Yes, yeah, 100%. I think Brian Flores is going to kind of take this as a personal challenge, because if you recall the last time that these two teams played, it's Brian Flores' first game, and it was a 59-10 beat down here at Hard Rock Stadium.
Yeah, I mean, look, Baltimore has been, as you said, yep, a nemesis for this Dolphins team for quite some time. They're typically physical.
Yeah.
They're typically nasty. They're well coached. They come in here with a mindset that has been the type of team that Miami really struggles with over the years. And so I'm glad, guys, it's a Thursday night game. I don't like Thursday night games under any circumstance, but if you're going to play one, you want to host it.
That's right.
You know,
100%.
To not have that travel day, you know, that's really tough. Now, from the staffing standpoint,
tell me about it.
It's just the worst, right? There's nothing good about it. You know, the PR staff is going to be working all night. They got to get the press release ready for tomorrow. They got to get ready for the press conference. And next thing you know, they're turning around for game prep. They have to get a game release ready. You know, so Brett and the crew
sleeping this week.
No, there's no sleep. And then you've got another late night game, and there's no sleeping in on Friday morning.
Right.
You know, that's not going to happen. And while the travel day is tough on the visiting team for the players and the coaches, because you kind of lose a day of practice and prep, from the PR standpoint, you kind of like that travel day. You know, let me just go close my eyes on an airplane for a couple hours or something, right? Get to a hotel. I can prep for a production meeting in the hotel. That's not the end of the world. So, you know, it is tough on the staff. And that's just from the PR standpoint. I can only imagine what those equipment guys are going through.
Oh, yeah,
know that the trainers are going to be working overtime. And you hope you come out of this thing healthy. I don't know. It didn't look like a whole lot of guys. Thank goodness.
I think I saw one guy, one tight end. I'm not sure if it was
Smythe. Came off and came back.
Smythe, okay. And then, you know, the center, right, Max? You know, there was an issue there. But your trainer, but as you know, Juice, that whole hurt versus injured thing.
Right.
At this stage of the season, everybody's got something. There's going to be a lot of ice and stim and night treatments and all those things for the trainers. So everybody's working overtime for a Thursday night game. Two games in 1 week is a lot for
Yeah, and what I like about it is, you know, our starting quarterback, you know, Jacoby went out there and got a win today, but gave us those extra days for Tua. So he's got those 10 days possibly of whatever of rest to get ready for.
And you feel like he's going to play.
I do. In this situation, if he was that close today, I think he'll definitely be ready by Thursday.
That's my thought as well. And just to kind of continue that point on the Ravens there, you know, we talk about the idea of Lamar Jackson. You said 122 yards today.
120 yards.
Yeah, he's something. Him and Kyler Murray are just different players. But, you know, that also means that you have to contest with the idea of playing more man or zone coverage because, right, Juice, you play that man coverage, they run you out of it, and then the quarterback gets out.
Right.
You're in some trouble. And then their defense, though, it's kind of the same thing. They are one of the best man defenses in the National Football League, and you got to be careful as a quarterback. I think Seth mentioned this in the lunch bunch. You said you wanted to see no big mistake from Tua. We thought he was playing this game. That has to be the case in this game. You can't have that backbreaking
mistake. Well, yeah, you're not going to win with five turnovers against the Baltimore
Ravens. If you put a ball up
unless they have seven
in harm's way, they're going to pick it off. That's how this defense operates. They are very, very good. They're ball-hawking, a man team. So some of those crossers, those rubs, and get my guy Waddle into a foot race for once. I want to see it. Man coverage is a good chance to do it. My last point, I got a big smile. I don't know if you saw it earlier, Seth. You were talking about some of the Ravens, kind of the things they fall back on. They use analytics as much as anybody else in the National Football League. That's their go-to. They go for it on fourth down more than anybody else. Just want you to know that.
You know, remember those games? Like, we're old guys. Remember those games where you plug them in and the thing and the electronics?
Yeah.
Travis would be okay with that if he just had a spreadsheet to tell you all the numbers. I like actually
left, right, left.
Yeah, I just want to watch some football and have guys make real decisions and make plays and not let a computer tell me how the thing's going to end up.
Yeah, you know, when you say that about them going for it a lot, when you've got Lamar Jackson with an RPO situation, Travis, I mean, your chances are a lot better than most teams that don't have a guy like that.
And to that point, though, you'll see some of the sideline shots because the Ravens are always on primetime, and you'll see John Harbaugh say, Lamar, you want to go? And he's like, yeah, of course. So I love that trust they have in the quarterback to make that decision like that. So
did he ever say no?
Right. Punt the ball, coach.
I had a quarterback that wouldn't even want the field goal kicker on the field. So, yeah, hell.
Fourth and 18, Danny, what do you want to do? We're throwing the football.
I got to play for that. I got to play. Yeah, exactly right. I got to play for that, you know. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting tonight, you know, and I'm just happy. What I'm looking forward to seeing is how do we come back after this victory?
Yes.
What do we do this week to get ready? Now, hopefully most teams this time of year should have no pads on, do mostly mental reps. You got to go out there and loosen up still, like after any event you do as a team, you got to go out there and run, and you still got to lift a little bit this week. Yeah, but at the same time, though, most of the stuff should be just helmets, going out there with some mental reps, you know, going some walkthroughs. I'd be out on the field a little bit more just in walkthrough more than I would be as a practice team because a lot of film to watch. There's a lot of film to watch. Completely different style team than what we just saw this past week. Like they do every single week. We're a different style team.
Yeah, like this team wins games as opposed to the one we just played.
Well, they got Tyrod Taylor back, though. Usually a lightning rod for those guys or any team that we play against. So we'll see. It's going to be a short week for everybody, but get ready. We just got to tackle. And it was good to see Bake back out there today.
Agreed.
You know what I mean?
And he came back strong. I thought he was the best he looked all year.
Yep. He did. So I'm because we're going to need Baker. When you got a guy like Lamar Jackson out there, you need a guy like Baker out there able to make plays. We got to make sure we can train the edges. We got to stay in our lanes. You know, Jalen, you know, Phillips and Ogba, they've got to make sure they want to try to get at him, but they better make sure they can maintain that contain out there.
We
got to make sure the inside is taken care of. You talk about playing man-to-man, do not turn your back on Lamar Jackson. If you turn your back, he's going to tuck in and run every time. And in open field, anybody, the best tacklers in the NFL, are going to have a hard time getting him down.
I think it's a great time to see Holland and Jones kind of come into their own here at this point of the season because it's going to be all about running probably more dime defense and getting DBs in the field deal with Lamar Jackson. And also, people are upset about this ugly win. The reason I really wanted this win among just rooting for the Dolphins was it gives us a chance on Thursday night to change the narrative because you come out here at Hard Rock Stadium and beat the Ravens, no one's going to talk about ugly wins or anything like that. It's going to be a great win
just
if you get it.
Just win, baby.
You
know? I agree.
Just win, baby. And we talk about our safeties, the way they were coming today, a lot of things off the edge. We brought Nick Needham off the edge. I might want to bring him up the gut this week against.
And just don't let him get out, right?
Exactly
just keep him in there. Exactly.
Contain here and bring our athletes up the gut that can get him into one-on-one inside that elevator shaft, I like to call it.
So we'll break it all down on the Drive Time podcast this week. We're going to have a short condensed week because of the short week, so no Wednesday deep dive. Wednesday will be the preview show. Thursday we'll recap the whole thing, and we'll do the All-22, I think, on Friday, maybe Saturday. We'll find out about that. Seth, what's coming up on the Fish Tank podcast? Run of wideouts here, but some DBs coming up here in a row.
Well,
now,
we did have a run of wideouts. We had to go to the other side of the ball, not because of a Sean Wooden text or anything like that. But you saw some turnovers today. Well, a guy who definitely liked to get a turnover or two, Terrell Buckley. T-Buck dives into the tank, took a break after team meetings, coaching out at Ole Miss. He jumped on with us. And, man, T-Buck is one of my all-time favorites. He was a lot of fun.
My brother-in-law.
He is your brother-in-law, and we discussed that.
Family on the show. Keep it rolling, guys. I'm loving the podcast this year. It's been a lot of fun to hear you guys do your thing and kind of take it to another level, it seems like, this year. I think you're killing it.
Same for you, Trav.
Keep it rolling. Appreciate it, Juice. And also thanks to our executive producer and booth producer, Alejandro Solana, our studio producers, Robert Griepert and Matthew Wilson, game ball from Matt Wilson, our radio booth engineer was Stephen J. Gray, our post-game engineer was Steph the Specialist. Let's throw him a game ball, too.
Yeah,
for O.J. McDuffie and Seth Levitt, I am Travis Wingfield. The final score of today's game, Dolphins 17, Texans 9. Dolphins football is going to be back on the air Thursday night. The Dolphins will host the Baltimore Ravens for Thursday night football. Kickoff is at 8:20 p.m. This has been the Miami Dolphins postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You?
The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.